I propose then that much of the scientific misunderstanding has to do with this fundamental difference in intellectual orientations, the one toward the individual, the other toward the population. There's confusion, for example, about the associations found in populations versus individuals. Dietary salt intake distinguishes populations sharply in regard to the frequency of adult hypertension, but not individual risk. HDL cholesterol levels distinguish sharply individual risk of coronary disease, but not the population risk. This discordance illustrates well the different force of a risk factor under the different settings. As does the question that we often ask of students, what would one be likely to conclude about the cause of bronchial cancer from studies in a population where everyone smokes cigarettes? Clearly, everything but cigarettes would discriminate cancer victims, particularly their heredity. In this case, the main causal factor eludes detection when population exposure is heavy, widespread, and homogeneous. The force of the risk factor depends on the setting. These two globally different views of disease derive in turn from different training, experience, and responsibility of physicians and scientists. The usual purview is either the patient to understand and appropriately diagnose the individual, or it is the cell to understand the mechanism. This predominantly individual view of the world, in which most of us are first trained and in which lies most of the earthly rewards of good works, is the major reason for the failure to join minds among clinic, bench, and epidemiology to make the leap of logic from the genes to the bedside to the population outside. These different views also translate into a different tolerance of uncertainty, to a different ability to take rational action in the face of uncertainty. It translates into the idea that epidemiology is statistics, not mechanisms, and therefore not science. It translates into the attitude that current measures of risk and ways of lowering risk are indeed crude and simplistic. This translates into the attitude that such crude preventive strategies may be all right for now, but just around the corner when we're able to locate the focus for each defect in each individual, then we can return to a more sophisticated, rational strategy, one that discriminates individual risk and avoids bludgeoning the whole population. I don't think it deprecates the important role of improved genetic risk detection in the individual to suggest that this may not obviate the wide-ranging effects of multiple genes, multiple exposures, acting through multiple body systems, regulating multiple physiological risk characteristics involved in cardiovascular disease, or that it will likely never obviate the mass phenomena of aging that reduce the regulatory capacities in these systems, thus changing risk. This fundamental research can never account for the multiple behaviors due to cultural influences which interact with multiple genes to produce both elevated individual and population risk. This important, very precise, but almost precious view that science will eventually know and control the locus for every defect cannot, in fact, deal with new generations of youth or set them on a healthy behavioral pathway to a healthy metabolic pathway or to low disease risk as adults. This individual, specific, high-tech approach can never create the professional and societal attitudes sufficient to change the mass determinants of risk. It shouldn't reduce anyone's excitement about genetic precision to suggest that it cannot account adequately for the powerful social determinants of the population disease burden. High-tech, high-cost cardiological strategies, individually precise and life-saving as they have become, cannot enhance personal lifestyles, create a healthy society, or prevent high risk in the first place.